listening to tonight's show. You can connect with Take Two Radio on Twitter at Take Two Radio and at Dawn Take Two Radio. You can also look us up on Facebook at Take Two Radio. Check out our website at TakeTwoRadio.com and follow us on Blog Talk so you can stay up to the minute of each episode as we add it. Each episode is always available for download immediately following each broadcast, and you can also download every podcast on iTunes. Thank you for joining us.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Take Two Radio. I'm Pam, your host, and tonight I have with me, of course, my co-host, Dawn. Hello, Dawn.
Hello, Pam. it's Saturday, finally.
Yeah, I know you're happy about that.
Yes, I am. It was a very long week at work. I'm very glad to have some time off.
That's good. Well, tonight I'm excited because, of course, we have an interview. And tonight we welcome Eileen Carey. She's a veteran actress with roles in Hoffa, Basic Instinct, and the original Batman movie, as well as an award-winning singer-songwriter. Welcome, Eileen Carey.
Hey, thanks for having me, girls.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us. So, well, I guess we'll go right into, because we got the chit-chat over with the pre-show part. And I want to say congrats on winning 2 Music Awards for Americana Album of the Year in 2009 and Producer's Choice in 2010 for Dance Single of the Year.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Was it a surprise to you, or did you say, yeah, I deserve that?
Well, maybe a little bit of both. I mean, actually, it was more of a surprise. I didn't expect it, but it was really a great honor to be recognized for your music.
Most definitely, since you're considered an indie artist, you know, it's not often something like that will happen.
Yes, yes, yeah. It's one, you know, we don't get that many chances, you know, choices or chances on winning awards, so.
Right. Now, I know that these days, even though 2009, 2010 isn't that long ago, indie artists are becoming more recognizable and by not just, you know, labels and that, but by the fans and social media and TV and, radio shows and that. Do you feel that that's happening?
Oh, most definitely. I mean, the internet has been such wonders for us indie artists. We can go anywhere. We can be heard in Japan or we can be heard in New York. I mean, it's just amazing, you know, what we can grab our hands to and be heard from. So it's pretty amazing. Amazing time for indie artists.
Yeah, thank God for technology, huh?
Yes. I'm glad somebody thought of it.
I know. It's amazing, what social media and it alone has done, been able to do for indie artists in recent, years. And the explosion of that, pretty much indie artists now have a better medium for getting their music out than like ever before. So that's a really good thing. What do you, as an indie artist, what is one of the, things that you enjoy doing most? Is it songwriting? Is it singing? Or is it performing?
Wow. I enjoy all of it, actually. I think, right. the biggest part right now that I really enjoy doing, I really enjoy the writing, but I really love to be into the studio and preparing the song, working with co-writers and working with the producers and working with the musicians and forming that that song, because each song has its own individual little style there going on and a little vision, and I really enjoy that. Then I also enjoy bringing it out to my fans and seeing, what kind of response I'm getting from them. So it's all fun. It's all great. Love it.
If you didn't, you're in the wrong business.
Definitely.
Now, you recently just came out with Don't Get Me Wrong, which is a cover by The Pretenders, but all of your other musics are originals. Tell us when you knew you wanted to be in the entertainment business and your journey to get where you are today.
Well, I think it's the... I think it started when I was bugging my parents to get me some drums. and that's how it all started. And then I went into, when I was in school, then I did, theater and I did choir and all that stuff. But then after that, shortly, my father says I had to get into the business world because you can't make any money in the music world.
Yeah.
And then I went into management in hotels. And then one day I was hiring entertainment, and I said, you know what, I have to be in the entertainment business. And I quit the corporation, and I started into my music and theater and writing and working in film and stuff. So I guess it kind of all went together somehow. I started with music, and then my father forced me in business because I had to have both.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in this world, you got to have it. And it worked somehow. At the time, I didn't think it was very nice, but it did work. It worked quite a bit right now. So that's basically where I kind of started the whole career business.
Well, you know, that is quite a story, and I'm glad that you realized that your passion wasn't your music, and that you did not want to, you know, work in the corporate sector for the rest of your life, because having heard your song, especially the remake of, you know, The Pretenders, Don't Get Me Wrong, I was so impressed. I was like, you know, why hasn't someone done this before? Oh, I know, because they were waiting for you to do it. I've never heard a country remake on that song, but I must tell you, that was brilliant. How did you go about picking that particular song to do?
Well, there was another cover tune, which I can't tell you what it is, but we started off to do, and because it's going to be on the album, too. We kind of went around that style. And I don't know, my producer always walked in one day and goes, you know, I heard that song, you know, They Don't Get Me Wrong by the Pretenders. It was on the radio. I think you should cut it. And I said, I don't know, you know.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you know, I said, well, maybe you're right. And then you know, the band came in, you know, from Nashville, and they played the track. And I said, wow, this is going to be pretty cool. And so that's how it kind of started. We started with another cover tune, and then somehow he heard it on the radio, and then it went from there. So you never know how one thing is going to lead to another.
That's so true.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Dawn. I thought you had a question. Okay.
Oh, no, I thought you did. That's why I waited.
Okay, go ahead. Sometimes this happens.
Sorry about that. But, yeah, I really love how you did that. Now, when you got into the studio to do that, did you set out to try to kind of put your own, you know, spin on the song, you know, make it your own versus, you know, because it sounds reminiscent, but yet, it, you know, it definitely has a little bit of a different flair. So I really like how you did that. But was that something that just kind of happened, or was that something that you intended to do?
Well, I never wanted to tend to sound exactly like, we both come from the same, from Ohio, you know, we have that accent, and we have the tones in our voice pretty much similar. And I was always wary about doing cover tunes by them because I was afraid I was too close to her vocals. But the more I worked with it and the band came in and they produced the track and then I started singing to it, somehow my style mixed up with her style and it just kind of worked. And then, you know, we listened to it. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't too close to her, you know, what she was doing. So for some reason, I kind of worked what she did and then just kind of threw my style on it and kind of mixed it up, and it just kind of fell into place.
That's really cool. Now, as far as, you know, your musical talent in terms of your singing, now, you said you wanted a set of drums when you were young, and that's kind of how you got bit by the whole musical bug. But as you've, you know, transitioned into your career, do you play any instruments? Do you play a variety of instruments?
I play piano. I did do drums, and then I started with piano to write the melodies and stuff like that. I just do that. My band wouldn't hire me. I haven't really pursued the time you're supposed to do with music instruments and really practice. you know, I put it all in the vocals and the writing, and that's why I have some great musicians, thank God, that can guide me in the right direction. So, yes, piano just for melodies and kind of writing songs, but nothing to go any further than that at this point.
Well, hey, whatever, you know, it's an asset to your musical writing, so that's a plus, you know, and that's really cool. Now, In terms of your writing style, how do you go about that? Is that something that you just kind of get something, you know, you wake up and you've got a tune in your head, you know, or you, you know, running about your day, does it kind of come to you that way? Or do you just kind of go into the studio and you say, okay, I'm going to write a song? How does
it
work for you?
That. And at Los Angeles, we drive a lot, you know.
Yeah.
So a lot of my ideas really come from, you know, I just be in the car and, you know, and I see something, you know, happening on the street, or I hear something on the radio, or I just listen to a conversation and I kind of get something from there. Then I go home and kind of put it all together, write it down, and then I find a co-writer to write with me on a particular song, and then we go from there. I'm not a person that can sit in a room alone and write. I like to bring lots of people in onto the project, you know, because the creative juices start flowing, and I'd more the merrier to put the song to where it's supposed to be going.
Now, do you typically, you know, create the melody for the song and the, you know, the audio, and then come back and lay down the vocal tracks, or, you know, how does it all get put together for you?
Well, usually I have the idea in my head. I write all the lyrics down, you know, some type of a story form. You know, how it's going to be. And then I decide what kind of style it's going to be. Is it going to be more rock, more country, more whatever? And then I find out of my list which co-writer I'm going to work with. And I have part of the melody sometimes, and sometimes I don't. Sometimes I just come in with the lyric and then have the co-writer write the melody down. And then we go into the studio, and then I would lay a track down of the style that we decided to take for the song. It's pretty interesting. Sometimes I just do the lyrics and then somebody else does the melody. But I give them enough information so they know which direction to go.
Well,
go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead. I was just going to say, it's always been interesting to me to hear, you know, songwriters describe their style, because to me, you know, it's almost like putting together a puzzle. You know, you've got your musical piece and then you got your lyrical piece, and somehow it just kind of all fits. You know, and then it just, this beautiful, incredible song comes out of it. You know,
it is
an artistry all in itself, songwriting. You know, the singing aside, I mean, the songwriting is so in depth and so detailed. And do you tend to be a perfectionist when you're songwriting? Do you have to redo it over and over again? I know I'm that way with certain things.
She is, believe me.
Yeah. So am I. Sometimes, you know, I have to stop myself because I'm trying I always sometimes get stuck on a word or something. I'm trying to find the most perfect word to go there. And sometimes it's just something really simple.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to watch myself. I get too all involved. I have to back away sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I like working with other people. Otherwise, I'd probably be stuck in a room all by myself trying to figure out how to finish a song.
People would have to start looking for you and get
right.
out of there. Where'd she go? She went to write a song. She's been gone for months.
Yeah, years.
Now, January for us, we have a theme, Women's Empowerment Month, and I know that a lot of your songs offer prominent message about personal empowerment and emotional fulfillment, which is something that we strongly support for women. Tell us what you feel is so important for women these days to empower themselves with and to stand on their own as individuals.
Wow. I think it's really important that it's really hard in this society with girls. I have two daughters, and with girls growing up in this society now, it's a little different than I was growing up. And it seems to me that, it's a really hard question, you know, which direction to go. The confidence is the most important thing they need, you know. They need to stand on their own two feet and be their own person and really work with their own individual self instead of, you know, dragging, you know, worrying what other friends are doing or boyfriends and all that kind
right.
of stuff. So it's a really tough time for females, especially in the brackets of 20 and 30. It seems like those were the ages that at the time of the society, especially in L.A., you know, we've had everybody just being more glamorous and all partying instead of really getting into their own issues and standing on their own two feet. So
exactly.
It's been a little crazy around here, but it seems to be simmering down. Everything seems to be getting back to somewhat order. But wow, it's just a constant. I'm constantly just trying to direct them in a way that they can stand on their own 2 feet, be confident, and find something that gives them their life purpose, what they want to do. They're singing or writing or dancing or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you just keep them involved as much as you can in different activities. And it's a real tough question because you don't know which way to go sometimes, you know.
Well, I know. I have 4 kids, but I only have 1 daughter. And she's 22, and right now her life revolves around her friends and,
mm-hmm.
yes, the next boyfriend that comes up and
right.
and going out with them. But I continue to tell her, you need to get back into school. You need to find
right.
something to do for yourself. You have to make a career. You can't depend on any guy to support you.
Right.
You know, my mother was married for 16 years, and she got a divorce. She had no skills. She had no credit behind her name, you know, and I watched her struggle. And so this is so very important to me that I stood on my own 2 feet before I got married.
Right.
And this is what I'm trying to get across to her.
Yeah, and, you know, and a lot of most men in the world, even the younger men, like women more standing on their own 2 feet than just being whatever they want them to be. And then there's some men that don't, but majority that I've seen, they're out there really like a woman who's strong and independent and on her way.
Right, exactly.
Because it takes 2 people in any relationship, and it takes nowadays to have a family and to have children and stuff like that. Both people have to have their feet on the ground and working.
Exactly. More than one paycheck coming in.
Right. The way it is now. Different world.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Well, let's shift gears a little bit. I want to talk about something that I found incredibly interesting when I was reading your bio, and that is that you, well, for one thing, you're a veteran actress, and you've starred in roles, you know, such as, you know, in Hoffa and Basic Instinct, the original Batman
mm-hmm.
movie. But one thing that I thought was very interesting, and that was that you joined the original Uh-Huh Girls, and which supported Ray Charles in a national Pepsi advertising campaign with the Super Bowl, you know, airing. So, what was it like? Did you actually work with Ray Charles to make that as part of the commercial, or was it something you did kind of separate and they put it into the commercial later?
Oh no, I was on the set with them. What happened was, I was going to film and director school at the time, and I wanted to get experience of how it was to work with actors, you know,
mm-hmm.
from, get information from them so when I become a director, I can handle and do it much better than I wanted to learn both sides, basically. And there was a casting director that I knew, and she got me on the set. And The director of the Pepsi commercial, Diet Pepsi commercial, had his assistant. He saw me way in the back. I guess he just liked my style or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he dragged me through all these people and said, I want you to join the Aha Girls with Ray Charles. And that's what happened, basically.
Wow.
So I was
right
there at the
place,
right time.
Right time, huh?
Yeah, and so I got to stand with them and talk to them and work with them for a couple of days, and my line was Aha. So... So it was just, you know, at the right place at the right time, basically. And it was just exciting because I got to learn, you know, learn from the fabulous director and also work with some great, talented people.
So you have your fingers in many pies. I mean, besides
yeah, sometimes
singing and acting, directing, mom, wife, everything. My
yeah.
God. Do you take a breath every now and again? Do you have anything you like to do on your downtime, if you have any?
Yeah, actually, I hit the gym. I do kickboxing. I've been doing it for 10 years.
Oh,
so
my gosh.
Keeps me sane.
Oh, my gosh. It's wonderful. Take out your aggressions, and you can beat somebody up.
That's right. I put little pictures on the bag, and boom, boom.
That's so
how
funny.
Hard is it? I've always wondered, how hard is it to kickbox? Because just to hear the thought of it just exhausts me, you know, when I think about it. It just seems like it's very, very difficult.
Well, it is hard, but yeah, that's why you have to learn the basics, which is with anything. But if you don't and then you make the wrong move, yeah, you can kind of hurt yourself, which I've done. But,
you always have to say, not the face.
That's
yeah.
right. And I've been knocked out a few times.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
no.
We were in the ring, and I wasn't paying attention, and boom.
Oh, my gosh. That is horrible. Oh, my gosh. Well, I mean, you were only knocked out for a few seconds, I would hope. I mean, you really didn't get – I just can't even imagine that. Did you have a black eye or something afterwards?
No, we had, you know, when he was training us, he made us wear these little helmets, so it didn't really knock us out too bad. But
okay.
No, it was okay. Just a little, my cheek was a little bruised and stuff like that, but nothing broken or anything. And it made me pay attention. Keep those hands up.
And you could go home and say, kids, this is what you don't do.
That's right.
Well, I also wanted to say that I commend you for supporting so many charities with your music, Operation Gratitude, World Fest, Indie Music for Life, and more. Why is this so important to you?
Well, it's always good to give back. I mean, I've had a lot of opportunities people have given me, and I like to give back and help other people. Just in lately, I've been really getting into, you know, of course, animals, saving the animals. And I have to watch that I don't save too many and bring them all home.
Yeah.
But I've been donating and helping people out there doing that because they needed some support out here. But I just enjoy if I get the opportunity to share my stuff, then I just love to just give back to people and help them.
Well, I think that's an awesome thing. And, you know, as busy as you are, I think it's great that you take the time to do that. And not only that, but you recognize the importance of being a part of something that's, you know, bigger for the greater whole and the greater good. So that's an awesome thing. Do you have a particular, you know, is there a particular charity that you really enjoy working with the most?
Well, right now I'm working with a lot of different animal charities out here. There's so many of them in Los Angeles. You know, we started off, I was helping a charity out here, I can't remember, with for the cats, the feral cats. And then I went to dog rescues. And so there's so many of them out here. I was working with, Best Friends, and, oh, God, I can't remember. There's just so many that we just, you know, I try to take on a few a year and then just...
Yeah.
But I started. My friend was in an organization out here for trapping feral cats, and I said, "Well, I'll help you one day." And I went out to help her one day, and I ended up keeping more than I should have kept. I was get them adopted.
and you know those feral cat communities—they're quite interesting. When I moved into the home I live in now, across the street from me was a community of feral cats, and I was never really familiar with. You know, anytime I saw a cat, I just always referred to it as a stray cat, you know. And it wasn't until I moved here that I really began to get educated and learn more about the feral cat communities and how, you know, they kind of all cluster together. And, you know, if you can ever get them to warm up to you, I mean, feeding them is always a great idea. In some respects, other respects, it's like, well, you've got them for life. But they, you know, they are the most loving animals. To not be, you know, trained or domesticated, I guess is the best word to use. But they easily become domesticated if you if they become your friend, trust me. We've adopted quite a few of the feral cats that have just, you know, from kittens on up, that have just come to be great pets, you know. They're some of the most loving animals in the world. But the thing that I love most about animals is how, you know, they will love you no matter what. And, you know, they don't have preconceived notions, judgments, or what have you. They just love you, and they want to be loved, and that's all they require.
That and food.
Well, that and food, that's true. Food is a key factor, but, you know, they really are, it really is an unconditional kind of love that, you know, we typically don't see in the human form a lot, but with animals, it just happens so freely, you know. But I love animals. So I'm like you. I would have a ton if, you know, if I could, but I can't. So, but they're, you know, I think sometimes people kind of forget or they take for granted that all animals have homes, but that's not always the case, you know.
Yeah, that's true. Very true. That I know. And as I know, I took so many in that now I just donate money or go volunteer my time. somewhere else.
Yeah, there you go. You can go to the animal shelter and hang out, spend some time, and not come home with them. You know, it's just my youngest daughter, she loves animals. And this is why I don't take her to the animal shelter very often, because every time we go, Mom, look at how they're looking at us. You know, and I'm like, they all look that way. You know,
yeah, I couldn't do that.
She would have all of them, you know, if she could. So, and I believe when she grows up one day, she will have a bunch of animals in her home. So, no doubt about it. Now, let's talk about a song that was on one of your albums. Actually, the album was Moving On, and it was written by Keith Urban and Vernon Russ. The song was called That Was Her, This Is Now. Talk a little bit about how you came to select that song for your album.
Eileen?
Hello? She dropped.
Eileen?
Yeah?
Oh, okay. You dropped and you called back?
Yes.
Did it drop? Oh, okay.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Did you hear what Don said, the last part?
The last part was, how did I get about doing that song with Keith Urban and Vernon Ross? Is that what you were
talking
about?
How did you select it? Yeah.
Yeah, how did you select it? Did they write it for you in your album, or was this just a song you came across and you said, I like it, I want to put it on my album?
No, they didn't write that for me. Actually, about 5 years ago, I was working with the same producer who worked in Nashville quite a bit for a lot of publishing companies, and that song came on a demo. Actually, Keith Urban was singing it, and at that time, when it was even longer than that, I think, he wasn't even famous at that time. He was just getting started. And I heard the song, and I said, well, I'm going to keep this song, and I'll do it later on. I really love this song. And then when I did the Moving On CD, then I put it on that CD, but it came through a demo, and because he never released that one, and he went on to bigger and better things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I was really fortunate. It fell in my hands, and I got to sing it, and I connected with both of them and told them thank you for letting me do their song, and it was fun. It was great. It did really great on country radio, and it's still going. They're still playing it on country radio all over the place. So it was one of those things that kind of just fell into my hands, but I always, mm-hmm. always loved it. It's a great song.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your brand new album, Let It Go. Did you have an inspiration behind this album?
Well, that's a good question. No, I was just starting to write, and I think the first song I wrote was Let It Go, because, as you know, watching my two children grow up and the friends around me and friends that I know and stuff like that, people were having a little difficult time. I was trying to find something to write to kind of ease their mind, as you want to say, or give them a few minutes to kind of step out of what they're going through and kind of just go another direction. And so that's where it kind of started. And I had such a good time on the other album, I decided to keep up some of the women's issues, because I didn't realize how important we kind of need a few songs out there for younger for the younger girls who are from 20 and up.
Mm-hmm.
So, I kept it going like that, and it seems to be. I don't want to give too much away.
Well,
but,
of course not.
Because if I start talking, I'll tell you everything. But there's some songs on there that still go in the same direction, like the last album we did, Out with the Girls, and it was about girls getting together, all different kind of girls, and just going out and have fun, you know, get away from life's pressures. And there was a song called Faith that I did. It was about, you know, sometimes we'd end up in the wrong relationships, and we don't see it, but other people see it around us, and we should kind of,
true.
Like, step out of our ourselves and kind of look at it, you know. And,
yeah.
And have some faith in yourself that you'll find something great out there. So
right.
It's still kind of continuing along that line, but not getting too, you know, where, you know, too pushy where you have to go this direction or this direction. It's just kind of giving you an option to look at it in a different way. That's all.
Well, thank you for that. That's wonderful. That's a great message to get out to girls and women.
Thank you.
You're welcome. We do have a caller on hold, so would you mind speaking with her?
Sure.
Okay, thank you. if it connects. There we go. Sabina, you're on with Eileen. Go ahead.
Hi, Eileen. This is Sabina.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. Great.
Well, I wanted to ask a couple of quick questions. One, I'm curious, what musician or musicians would you be interested in working with that you have not worked with yet?
Like who I would want to sing with or write with?
Both.
Well, I always wanted to write with and sing with Brooks and Dunn when they were together. But I'll take them separately.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind sitting down with Keith Urban and writing with him.
Plus, he's good to look at.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many. I can tell you one of my favorite writers is Diane Warren. If I ever had a chance to sit down with her in a room and write with her, that would be, like, fantastic. That's the place I would – I think of all anybody, I would really like to sit down and write with her.
Definitely.
Wow.
So let's give a shout-out
awesome.
To Diane Warren if you're listening.
Yeah.
Contact Eileen.
For sure. Yeah, you named a lot of great ones that I even like. So that's awesome. I did get to hear one of your songs. I do enjoy your sound because I do like country and all sorts of different. Now, I was trying to find that one, the cover of the Pretender song, but I couldn't find where I could listen to it, so I'm still searching because I can't listen to any of the
on her website. So
I can't listen to any of the website. I don't know why, but it's not working. Maybe I need to change my browser. I think I'm going to try it on a different browser.
Well,
I've been having troubles.
If you send me your address, I'll just send one to you or email it to you. MP3. Can you?
Oh,
cool.
That's
yeah.
So nice. I do have her information,
great.
So I can pass that on to you, Eileen.
Okay.
All right.
I appreciate that, Pam. One other quick question, and then I'm going to let you go. I'm just curious. I noticed one of the things listed on the website was Angels Among Us that you work with. I'm curious if it's the same. I don't know if there's multiple different ones, but there's an actress by the name of Valerie Wildman that I've met who basically does Angels Among Us, and I was just curious if that's the same one or if it's something different.
Oh, no, I didn't even know there was another one. No, this is a girl that I connected with, God, I think it was online about 10 years ago, and she was helping children in hospitals that, you know, had different kind of illnesses, cancer and all that, and she was located in West Virginia, and she put this whole organization together, and I was helping her start it out. And
I
still send her proceeds from the CD because she's helping these little kids.
Oh,
that's good to know, though. I didn't know there was another one.
Well, it's a little different. It's all sorts of basically just people doing good things and nice things for other people. Not necessarily a charity that I know of, but Valerie Wildman has a website. It's actually angelsamongus. I've forgotten now, but I have it bookmarked. So, so yeah, I was just curious.
I'll have to check that out. Thank you.
Yeah. And thank you for speaking with me. It was nice talking with you, and I look forward to that P3. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for connecting. Thank you.
Thanks
You're
for calling
welcome.
In, Sabina.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Sabina.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Well, Eileen, we want to say thank you to you for joining us today and being with us. It was just so great having you here and learning more about you and your music and your amazing career, you know, both as an actress and as a musician. So thank you for your time. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
And for all the listeners out there, if you want to check out Eileen's website, you can find her at EileenCarey, that's Carey.com. And it's got a whole wealth of information. So, you know, it tells you where you can find her, all about her music, and check out that, you know, Eileen's remake of Don't Get Me Wrong by the Pretenders. You'll love it. So please, please do that. And also you can follow her on Twitter at Eileen Carey, and let her know what you think of her music, order her music, and just support her. any way that you can. And again, thank you, Eileen. We really appreciate having you here.
Yes,
thank you so much
for taking the time.
Thank you so much. I really enjoy what you guys do. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And
oh,
we'd love to
welcome.
Have you back in the near future after you release your fourth CD, and let us know what's going on. We can talk more about it, because then people have already listened to it and you won't be letting any secrets out.
Yeah, that's right.
That's true.
Yes, I can't help it. I'm protecting my little secrets.
Yeah. Can't blame you there. I mean, it's good to have a little mystery. It'll get people to, you know, go after it and listen to it then.
Right.
Yeah. Yes, very much.
Well, thanks again,
so much.
And God bless you. You have a good night, a good weekend.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You're so very welcome. Bye-bye.
Well, I think that her next CD, I mean, with the popularity of her other music and that she's released before, this one should probably be a great hit as well. I mean, just by the couple songs that we've heard from it, you know, I think she's going to go far with it. And it's nice because it's kind of a crossover into pop, too.
Yeah, and I like, you know, I like her sound. Her voice is, it's funny because when she said that she and Chrissy Hynde, who is the lead for The Pretenders, you know, they're both from Ohio, and she was really trying to stay away from sounding so much like her. She was concerned about that. But, you know, it's funny because when I listened to it, I didn't really relate it that way until she mentioned it. And you do hear a little bit of a similarity, although not, if that makes sense. And,
no, it does make sense. She definitely made that song her own.
Yes, she did. And so it's a great song. And I love the fact that it's a country version. I mean, you know, it was a pop version initially. And the fact that someone has taken it and made it into a country song is brilliant, as I said. So, it's always neat to see what an artist can do with a song that has been published before and try to make it their own. And that's what makes it so exciting when someone can, you know, come out with a song and it's been, you know, done before, but they give it their own take, their own spin. It sounds brand new all over again. So
Exactly. Because I know
done
that
with this song.
I know that when I used to go to, you know, different clubs and listen to bands sing and they did the songs word for word and tune for tune, you know, and it was enjoyable, but it would be nice to see what they could have done with it in their own style.
That's right. So let's shift levers a little bit. You want to talk about what's coming up tomorrow?
Sure, knock your socks off. Go ahead.
Well, for those of you who may have had your head in a hole the last day or so, not seriously, I guess a better way to say it is for those of you who have not been on Twitter, have not been, are behind a little bit, and have not tuned into what we are doing, we have the wonderfully talented, amazing, phenomenal Crystal Chappell coming on tomorrow at 5 p.m. Eastern. You may know Crystal from Guiding Light. You may know her from Bold and the Beautiful. You also may know her from her web series, Venice, and her brand new web series, the pilot is out now, called The Grove. And Crystal Chappell, I am so stoked about this interview tomorrow, Pam. It is going to be awesome.
I know. So, I think a lot of people are excited, to say the least.
Yes. I was jumping up and down when I found out we were going to have her on, because I loved her on Guiding Light. I loved the story she played. She had such a pivotal role there, and Guiding Light fans just love her. And, you know, but she's done a great job on Bold and Beautiful, and I just love watching her. She is an awesome performer, and she's quite talented. So it's going to be, we're going to have so much to talk about tomorrow. I don't know that we can pack it all in the time that we have. I mean, but I will say this, if you are planning to call in and speak to Crystal, you'll need to call about 10 minutes before showtime, because we anticipate that the lines are going to be very jammed, and we want to be able to get your call on. So first come, first serve. We'll try to take as many calls as we can once we open up the phone lines. But you want to call early to get in the queue, and then you can just listen online while we do the interview. The call-in number is 718-506-1540. Press option 1 to get into the queue, and then we will take your call. So tomorrow, 5 p.m. Eastern, Crystal Chappell will be right here on Take Two Radio, and we are extremely excited about, you know, that. So
Yeah, and don't forget she was in Days of Our Lives too.
That's right. I'll tell you, you know, that's
yeah,
huge, I'm so excited
huge
about
story
all
with
the excitement
that. Yeah.
Of all the excitement of Guiding Light, you know,
yeah.
the Guiding Light days, you know. So, but
yeah,
she was in Days, and she played a great role on there as well. And so she's loved by Days fans, Bold and Beautiful fans, and Guiding Light fans.
And
of course,
also
fans
has
of her
a
web
new
series.
Book out, too. So
yes,
we'll be hopefully touching base with that, too, you know, to talk about her book a little bit. Of course, like Eileen didn't want to give too much away about her new CD or new album, we don't want to talk too much about what's in the book because we want people to read it. But I'll tell
yeah.
you, I'm in the middle of it now, and oh my gosh, I'd recommend anybody to buy it. And I'm not going to discuss the name or anything right now until tomorrow's show. So you'll have to tune in at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for Crystal Chappell. And
yes.
we want to thank our listeners very much for joining us tonight, and we hope you enjoyed the interview. And as always, take care, have a good night, and God bless. Dawn?
Yes. Everyone have a great night, and thank you for being here and showing us your support. We love you all. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Tonight's show has been brought to you by One Taste of Main Street Cake Shop. Baked from scratch, custom-made cakes and cupcakes, and you'll be hooked. Every cake is made to order with only the finest and freshest ingredients. This is no ordinary bakery. Cakes are never pre-made. Main Street Cake Shop is in demand, having provided cakes and cupcakes for numerous prestigious events, bridal fairs, and venues. Owned and operated by April Murray, she has garnered many awards for not only her exquisite cake designs, but also for their incredible taste. If you're looking for a cake for any occasion, or cupcakes in a variety of flavors, then Main Street Cake Shop is the place. Visit them on the web at mainstreetcakeshop.com.